For the United States, the War of 1812 took a turn for the better on this date 200 years ago. American naval forces defeated the British in the Battle of Lake Erie. The victory secured the lake and ensured that Michigan and Ohio would remain the sovereign territory of the USA. Current State Scott Pohl talked with MSU historian Roger Rosentrater about the Battle of Lake Erie.
There are no roads to speak of in this part of the country at the time, and the lakes are the most efficient means of moving men and materiel. And the British have got about a dozen boats on Lake Erie in Ontario. The United States has one, and we lose that one with the surrender of Detroit. So what the government decides to do is say, all right, we've got to figure out a way to challenge the British on Lakes Ontario and Erie. And they began a boat-building effort. So that's how we get to what becomes the Battle of Lake Erie a year later. By the spring of 1813, a year into the war, a 27-year-old veteran of the U.S. Navy, a guy with a great military name, Oliver Hazard Perry, is at Erie, Pennsylvania, and he's orchestrating the building of a small fleet, particularly two brigs. Now, I'm not a Navy guy, but a brig is a two-masted, fast-moving ship with about 20 guns. So by the late summer of 1813, he is now moving to western Lake Erie. He is going to be challenged by a British naval force out of Fort Malden, which is in Amherstburg, which is just downriver from Detroit. Captain Barclay is the guy's name. Now, he is a veteran of the Battle of Trafalgar of 1805. So this guy is a capable naval officer, but he has a smaller fleet, and he's really got a shortage of sailors. So as a result, what happens by early September of 1813, Barclay decides, I've got to challenge the American fleet because I've got to open up that supply route to the east. I've got a lot of troops and Indians and dependents at Amherstburg who need food. And that's being stopped by the fact that there's now an American fleet on Lake Erie.
Oliver Hazard Perry gives us a couple of the great rallying points of the war. And I'd like to talk about both of them, if I could. Okay. The first is, don't give up the ship, which lives in infamy. Can you tell me how he employed that phrase?
Well, that actually belonged to a man he admired who he'd served under, who was a Captain Lawrence, who is killed earlier in the War of 1812. So that is the don't give up the ship again, don't surrender, all part of that Navy legacy that gets established earlier in the war. The second one that you mentioned, which is real significant, has to do with the Battle of Lake Erie, which is now September 10th, 1813, when Barclay's six boats confront the American fleet of nine boats, which is then laying at anchor at Put-in Bay, which is just north of Sandusky, Ohio. Now, both sides have two large boats, that's simply, right? And Perry's flagship is the Lawrence, named after the man he had admired. And what happens in the fight is that the two larger British boats pound the Lawrence. Matter of fact, after about 2 hours of pounding, the Lawrence is badly battered. It suffered 80% casualties. Curiously enough, one of the people not wounded in this fight is Commodore Perry. He gets in a rowboat and is rowed a half a mile to the Niagara. Now, the Niagara is his other big boat.
While under fire.
I mean, the shells are flying, and there's actually a dramatic painting. Naturally, he's standing up, you know, just like George Washington at the Delaware, right?
In a canoe.
Yes, right. Well, this time he's in a rowboat, but he's standing up. I don't think he was standing up. But nevertheless, Perry makes it to the Niagara. Now, what's important about that is the Niagara has kind of stayed out of the fight, much to Perry's curiosity. I mean, he's wondering, why is that boat out there? Well, I'm taking this pounding. Well, to a certain degree, it works out real well because he gets the Niagara. And at that point, the British, who have suffered as well, matter of fact, a lot of the British officers are down at that point, figure, look, we pretty much won. Okay, we were outnumbered, but we've won. The Americans are going to retreat. Well, Perry doesn't retreat. Instead, he heads back into the fight. The winds freshen in his favor. Again, these are all sail ships. And in a matter of 15 minutes, what happens is the two larger British boats collide. Their masts get entangled. The Americans come in, again, with the wind in their favor, and they blast the British boats, and in a few minutes, literally in a few minutes, it's over.
Hugely impacted by the luck of Mother Nature.
and the Niagara as well, because if the Niagara had been in the fight earlier, who knows what would have happened. So even though Commodore Perry and the captain of the Niagara will have their discussions well after the fight, and they'll fight in the press about why didn't you, et cetera, et cetera, it benefits the Americans, certainly. What happens then is the British surrender. Both sides suffer about the same number of casualties, about 30, 40 killed and about three times that number of wounded. And very dramatically, as you know, and here's your second quote, Perry, on the back of an envelope, curiously enough, will send a note to the American Army commander, William Henry Harrison, quote, "We have met the enemy and they are ours."
Lots of great American history written on the backs of envelopes.
Well, at least that one. No, and Lincoln didn't write the Gettysburg Address, as we know, on the back of an envelope. But Perry did write on the back of an envelope, though after his day, maybe it's okay. We can give him, we'll cut him some slack on that one. What happens, though, which is why it's real important for Michigan, is the British now evacuate Fort Malden, and they evacuate Detroit. Perry will now able to, despite the fact that his boat, the Lawrence, has taken a pounding, he's got other boats, he can now ferry General Harrison's army across the Detroit River, and they begin to follow the fleeing British army. And on October 5th, at the Battle of the Thames, which is near Chatham, Ontario, the Americans will crush the British force. Matter of fact, the dramatic part of that battle is the Indian leader Tecumseh will be killed.
Is it fair to say this is where the tide has turned?
Definitely. The American war in the West has shifted considerably as a result of the Battle of Lake Erie. Matter of fact, what will happen is that not only will the Americans reoccupy Detroit, which is good for those folks who certainly have suffered for a year of British occupation, but the Americans will continue to control Lake Erie for the balance of the war. So again, the Battle of Lake Erie is small by naval standards, but it is considerably important, not just in the War of 1812, but in American naval history.
What do we know about naval communications between ships in a fight of this sort, where there's long distances, there's the sound of cannons? How are they able to communicate with each other?
There's a lot of smoke, too.
I'm sure there is.
Don't lose sight of that, because that's one of the things that really, on a battlefield or even on the seas, is going to impact things. My sense is you can do it with flags, to a certain degree. I'm not enough of an expert to know how many flags you're able to do, but that's how they're doing it even into the 20th century, I think. You know, if you're trying to maintain a certain amount of radio silence, and obviously there are no radios in 1813, that would be one way to communicate. But there's no doubt that in this particular fight, Perry's out there going, why is the Niagara out of the fight when I could use him and we're taking a beating here?
I don't know if you ever engage in historical speculation, but what would have been the result if we had lost this battle?
Given the way the War of 1812 unfolds, it's a little bit unclear what might have happened. The Americans still had success in Lake Ontario in 1814, which is again tied to the success at the Battle of Lake Erie. So you again would have possibly taken that out of the equation. Without rambling on, we should never have been in the War of 1812 to begin with, and we got out of it. We were very lucky we got out of it as we did. Losing the Battle of Lake Erie, possibly the Americans would have come back a second time, rebuilt another fleet. It was a real challenge to build a fleet. That's something we didn't even discuss. But the whole idea of finding, Erie, Pennsylvania, for example, doesn't have any major shipyards. I mean, even something as simple as nails were a shortage. And getting cannon to places like Erie poses a real challenge as well. So I would imagine losing the Battle of Lake Erie would have been a major setback, clearly, but William Henry Harrison has a large American army. He might very well have attacked Detroit. Possibly that would have, again, the British still have communication and manpower issues. So maybe it would have dragged on, been a whole lot bloodier.
I know in recent days there have been reenactments on the water and that there is a lot of attention paid to keeping this history alive. That's pretty important to a lot of people. Can you talk about how we have kept the memory of a lot of these events alive?
There's a couple good ways, I think that we've done it. One of them is there is a USS Niagara out there. It is the third such vessel with the name Niagara, launched in 1988. It's berthed in Erie, Pennsylvania, where they have a maritime museum as well. And the Niagara is a sailing school vessel which travels the Great Lakes. So, I mean, one of those tall ships that visits various ports on the Great Lakes. The other thing is that if you go to Put-in Bay, South Bass Island in particular, the National Park Service operates a Perry Monument. It is 352 feet tall. It has just been recently renovated, is my understanding. So you can go to the top of it and look out, and without sounding too cynical, you can see Lake Erie. And you can kind of see where the battle took place. But they do a good job, as the National Park Service always does, in making an effort to interpret and preserve important events like this one.
MSU historian Roger Rosentrater, thank you for another one of your visits to help us remember Michigan history. Good talking with you.
Thanks, Scott.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.